This is Graham Atwell welcoming you to Sounds of the Bazaar, live internet radio, live from Educamp 09 in Ilmenau, Germany. It's Graham Atwell presenting together with Helen Keegan. Hi, Helen.
Hi, Graham.
Helen, describe for our listeners the atmosphere here. It's quite incredible, isn't it?
It's electric. No, it really is. It's fantastic, especially the lighting. We're really impressed with the lighting. We've got people playing tennis on Nintendo Wiis. It's a real meeting of man and machine. There are probably as many laptops here as people. Everybody
tweeting.
I've never
seen so much technology in one place. It's amazing. We've got our new radio rig with Dirk Stierglitz operating it. We were really proud of it, but I'm afraid it looks so tiny compared to all the other equipment everyone else has got.
Yeah, cameras everywhere. It's quite amazing.
Anyway, what's Educamp all about? Well, we've got the expert here to tell you. Helen, over to Marcel.
Right, okay. Stefan, please tell us about Educamp.
Stefan, sorry.
Well, EduCamp is a barcamp format for all of you who don't know what a barcamp is. A barcamp is not a traditional event. What we do is we invite people who are interested in the future of learning and teaching to come here and decide themselves what they want to talk about in the time we have. So it's a very open format. All the participants are actively engaged in building up the schedule, and we are right in the middle. I mean, we're going to have a lunch break now, but we're going to go on today and tomorrow, and there are lots of interesting sessions on Twitter, on micro-learning, on semantic web, and all that cool new stuff.
Yeah, it's great seeing everybody sort of negotiate the program themselves together and deliver to one another. Can you tell us more about what you do? Introduce yourself.
Well, my name is Stefan. I'm a freelance media consultant, and I also consider myself a blogger and social media expert and a whole million other kind of things. So my interest in the future of learning is that when I used to work at university, I wanted to be more innovative, not just, you know, have students do boring PowerPoint presentations, but engage them and open up the whole course system. So I started using blogs, wikis, RSS, social bookmarking, the whole Web 2.0 things. And that changed not only the way my students worked for me or with me, but it also changed myself. So I'm also a member of the Hard Blogging Scientists. And that is pretty much connected to what I just said, because we were a young bunch of scientists and teachers, and we were quite dissatisfied with the existing system. So we decided to have a little manifesto where we define what we as young scientists want to be like. And we said, okay, we use blogs, we use Web 2.0 technology to get our research out in the open, not keep it in the universities. And that it's a whole different mindset of how you approach teaching and working with students. So and it's also some kind of pop science, because I mean, you cannot see it, but I'm wearing a shirt with Hard Blogging Scientists on it and a pink button, and everyone is looking at me asking, what is it about?
Yeah, tell us the URL.
Well, it's www.hardbloggingscientists.net. I'm going to have a session today where I propose that we use the platform I installed there to start a network of people who like the idea, who are fans of Hard Blogging Scientists, or who are working with the same mindset. So you won't see anything interesting on the platform right now, but maybe tomorrow or in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start a whole new platform for Hard Blogging Scientists.
Brilliant. So that's something for everybody to keep an eye on. Hard Blogging Scientists. So thanks, Stefan. I'll pass you back over to Graham.
Yes, this is Sounds of the Bazaar. Graham Atwell and Helen Keegan delivering live internet radio from Educamp 09 in Ilmenau, Germany. And we've got a chat room on. We've got a chat room open with Christina Costa in it. Now, one of the features of Sounds of the Bazaar is that Christina Costa does a lot of work behind the scenes running it, but you never get to hear her voice. And you're just about to hear her voice telling people who are here in Ilmenau or people anywhere else listening the address of the chat room.
Okay.
Spin the microphone.
Here you go, Chris.
Okay, so we're live in the chat room for the ones that are not here in Ilmenau and want to reach out to us, not just by listening, but actually taking part in the discussions. And if you have a pen and some paper nearby, just jot down this URL. We are at http://tinyurl.com/sounds09. And just type in your name No password needed, and just join us.
Thanks, Christina. I'm going to go into a musical break in a moment. We've got loads of people lined up to be interviewed here. It's great. We're going to be interviewing Jean-Paul in a moment. But first of all, we've got some old friends here. It's Andreas Eichwater. Welcome, Andreas.
Hi, welcome.
It's great to see you. What are you doing here?
Oh, we are trying to do a workshop this afternoon. And yes, about podcasting as usual.
Brilliant. Okay. We're going to go into a musical break now, and we're going to be coming back with Jean-Paul. Into the music. Welcome back to Sounds of the Bazaar, live from Ilmenau. Helen's going to be talking now to Jean-Paul. Over to you, Helen.
Right, yeah, I'd like to introduce everybody to Jean-Paul, who I had the fortune to meet this morning in a classic sort of conference moment where we met in a lift and then stood there talking about the nature of knowledge and networks for a short time. So, Jean-Paul, can you tell us something about yourself and what you do?
Yes, I'm a retired professor. Oh, it's a big challenge to speak English, but okay. I'm a retired professor. I have make the method learning by teaching, who students are teaching each other. But the main purpose why I have here is that I think that people have to show themselves in the internet, in Twitter, in all the possibility, show themselves, in order to communicate with other people. And I think that the most of people are don't want to show themselves. They want to shelter the knowledge they have, and it's a big fault. It's not good. I think the people want to shelter themselves because they mind they are so important. They are not important. Yeah. So they are like neurons. They have to communicate, and nobody's interested in that neuron, just in that product.
Yeah, it's interesting hearing you talk about, you know, knowledge and the distributed nature of knowledge, because and it takes us back to something Stefan said about actually the sort of recognition of academic work and the clash between, say, traditional modes of knowledge, authority and recognition, and then Web 2 enabled publishing, which again has got sort of, you know, real implications on terms of academia, I think. What do you think?
I don't understand if I don't know if I understand the question, but I think the old paradigm want to shelter protect the child, the student, and it's not a good thing. The good thing is no risk, no fund. You have to say to the people, show how you are. Other people can communicate with you to build knowledge, but you have to show all the things you are doing, because just a little bit from this will take for the other people to construct knowledge. That's my vision.
So it's very much like the idea of the hive mind, I think, that we're talking about here. So, brilliant, Jean-Paul. Thanks very much for talking to us. I'll now pass back over to Graham, I think, because I think he's got some interesting observations.
We've got a lot of people here listening, waiting to talk to hear lots. But anyway, if you're not on our list of people who are going to be interviewed, if you want anyone here live in Ilmenau who wants to come on Sounds of the Bazaar, just come and grab one of us. This is live, spontaneous internet radio. Now I'm going to go and talk to Carsten Wolf now. Carsten, there was a panel discussion yesterday, and Carsten did an interesting input which proved quite controversial on micro-learning. Tell us what it's all about.
Hi. Actually, I have some problems with the term micro-learning, because, two associations I have with But if you define microlearning as small snippets, well, below 5 minutes to digest, there are two associations I have with microlearning. The first one is like fast food. And so this would be McDonaldization of education. I don't like this. And the other thing is maybe that microlearning could be something like, I try to remember what the second thing.
I can't remember now either. There was a few beers afterwards.
The second one was Skinner, actually, and behaviorism and all that stuff. So what microlearning is some kind of, you just learn five words of Italian or something like this, and when you go on. So the better thing I think about microlearning would be like ad hoc learning or learning as problem solving in you're in a situation and you need some knowledge to solve your problem, and when you go and into the net and get your information or your answers and solve your problem, and in this moment you are kind of micro-learning, because it's just one question you have. I gave an example that yesterday, like a programmer, he wants to like open a file in a new programming language, so he doesn't know how to do it, so he looks it up and just precise with information and not the whole API and 500 pages of API documentation.
Of course, this conference is being well Twittered, and if any of you want to see the Twitter comments, I think one of the hashtags is hash EDU09, I think that's it, yeah. But what was it? EC09, that's hash EC09 if you want to see the Twitter comments. But one of the things that's caused quite a good comments yesterday was something Carsten came up with. We've been talking a lot about edupunk lately, and it's fairly apparent the term has really gone past its usefulness. And when Stephen Downes starts talking about edu new wave, then you know it's time to move on. But I think, Carsten, you came up with a term, edu hacker, which proved very popular on Twitter. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, I think what do hackers do? Actually, they try to get access to things which are not supposed to have access for them. So this, in an education sense, this would mean you just try to misuse systems for your own learning, and you try to get access to stuff you just misuse educational resources and create some new meaning to them. And so hacking means if you like. There's a magazine, yes, it's called Make.
What's your name?
So, so it shows how to take ordinary objects and right, just okay. create some new with them just by
excellent.
Adding technology and hacking skills to them. So okay. this could be a new paradigm for users. Just take some tools and create something new for them to learn to support their learning and problem solving.
That's brilliant. And before you know these terms take off, it was first heard here in Ilmenau. We are all edu hackers now, coming from Edu Camp and Carsten. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye. Thanks, Graham.
Over to Helen.
Right, thanks, Graham. I'm just clearing this ghost out of my mic. Now, I'd like to introduce you to Jörg, who's going to tell us about Uvisto. So tell us about you and what you do.
So, I'm here to present Uvisto. Uvisto is an academic video search engine for students and lecturers. And it's also a Web 2.0 platform for curious minds. And with Uvisto, you can search within the content of digital lecture recordings and, for study purposes. And you can also upload videos or register lecture recordings from the internet, and you can comment, you can evaluate, tag, and discuss these videos. And that's Uvisto, and I think you should go to the internet and try it on uvisto.com. Yeah.
So when did the project start?
So we started with Uvisto in 2006, and it was funded by the European government and the German government as a so-called access seat project. And now we are here with some new and innovative features. And
Okay, and how are you finding it, getting content on there? Is that how you're finding it, actually getting content together on there?
Yeah, so our content is from the World Wide Web, so we have some crawler software which searches the content, and people have also the possibility to upload videos such like YouTube and so on, but it's specialized on academic videos, so such as lecture recordings or conference talks and so on.
And do you have a kind of rating system, user ratings, or...?
Yeah, of course, there are many possibilities to place ratings. So people can have the standard 5-star ratings, for example. But people can tag videos. And if people tag videos very much, then we can say, okay, this is a very important video. So this is there. The interesting thing is that people can tag not only the video at all or the entire video, but also on particular points within the video. And so we can find out where very interesting parts in the video are, what the interesting parts in the videos are. Yeah,
I think that sounds like a really exciting, very useful piece of functionality, actually, in terms of actual videos for teaching and learning. So really interesting, YoVisto. So check that out. And thanks very much, Jörg. I'll pass you back over to Graham.
Live internet radio can be really funny sometimes. I don't know if you heard during that session there was a bit of noise, a background noise, and we thought it was feedback, and we were dashing around trying to work out if we had an open mic anywhere. No, what we turned out is it's Stefan playing a didgeridoo, but it was about the fourth time he played it that we realised it was Stefan playing a didgeridoo, not feedback from our electronic system. Come on then, Stefan, live internet music, give us some sessions. There you are, live didgeridoo from Ilmenau. Okay, we're going to go into more conventional musical break now, and then we'll be coming back talking to some more of the wonderful people here at EduCamp. This is Graham Atwell, Sounds of the Bazaar, live from EduCamp 09, live from Ilmenau, Germany. It's a fantastic atmosphere here. There's a big hall, an entrance room. There's people standing around at tables discussing. There's people eating. There's people playing on a Wii. There's various presentations. There's more cameras and microphones than I've ever seen anywhere in my life. Sorry if I'm blasting you out here. And I've got a group of people here. This is own conferencing event. Thomas Bernhardt grabbed me when people were making their offers of what they wanted to present and said to me and Christina, you've got to present something. So we said, what shall we present? So we said, let's do learning pathways. But we said, we don't want to do a presentation. We want a conversation. We want to talk to people. And I had to dash off before the end, left Christina with the job of finding some poor people who were prepared to give us some feedback onto this program about that session on learning pathways. And I've got three of them here now. Fabian, what was the end point, because I had to leave before the end point, of that conversation on learning pathways?
Yeah, well, there were several points that we made. And the most important one was that there's a lack of freedom on the side of the learners. So the learners really need to decide what they want to learn with. So they want to decide whether they want to use a blog or a wiki or another system. So that's a very important aspect. And we also agreed on the point that learning needs to be task-driven. That means that the learners should decide what they want to learn from the task that they want to solve. Not just learning for the sake of learning, but for the sake of solving a task. And as well, we made the point that learning should be fearless. So the people nowadays, they hesitate because they're not used to the new technology. So they really want to have systems that they can adopt with easily. So those are the main 3 points we made.
I love that idea of fearless learning. And Andrea, what did you find from the session?
I found from the session that the learning path is very important to understand that it's a process. So I can't learn only facts. I have to learn also the competence about using those facts in my professional or in my study. So I think this is one really important point.
So it's process as well as content.
Yes.
And Tamin, what was your ideas?
What I learned is that curriculum means actually race, also to have a competition, and that our education is always surrounded or made in a competitive way, and we should try to find ways not to just make it competitive. There is competition is not bad, but also find ways to make education fearless so that we can achieve each other with each other some goals so that we learn together.
I'm really interested in this fearless learning. This could be a new term again. We've got edu-hackers and fearless learning. Tell me, Fabian, what do you mean by fearless learning? What does that term mean to you?
Well, for me, it means that you easily adopt a new technology. You can just use the computer in the way you want, and you don't have to think of where the buttons are and what they mean, and you don't have to read tutorials or manuals. You can just use the computer the way you like.
So it's really turning over, no tutorials, not their system, but us choosing how to use that system. We got some stuff in the chat room, I think. Helen, what's going on in the chat room?
Right, yeah, interesting question from Pat. Hi, Pat. Pat's asking, can technology help teachers to guide learners through their learning landscape? So what are your thoughts on that table in the corner?
Andrea, what do you think? What was the question again? Helen's rushing back to the computer.
Can technology help teachers to guide learners through their learning landscapes?
So can technology help teachers?
Yes, I think so, because it gives the possibility to learn each other, to learn pupils together. So I think it's a good point for the teachers. So they have the possibility to help their pupils to learn and to make process.
And Fabian, can technology help teachers guide learners through their learning landscapes?
Well, I think it can, but before that, the teachers have to make clear what the didactics are, so they really have to think about a concept of learning, and after that they can use the technology to convey a new picture of what they want to teach.
So it's the didactic idea that's important. Tamin, would you agree?
Yes.
That's the shortest answer I've had all day. So there you are, Pat. Hey, greetings to you, Pat. The weather's awful here. I hope it's better there. We're going to go in the musical break now, and we'll be back in 2 minutes with some more people to talk to. This is Graham Atwell and Helen Keegan, live from Ilmenau, live from EduCamp. You are listening to Sounds of the Bazaar.
Faire un dessin sans poser de questions, la glisser la main.
This is Graham Atwell, Sounds of the Bazaar. Now, one thing about educational technology conferences is we get a lot of researchers, we get a lot of developers, we get a lot of teachers. Who's the people we never hear from? The students. They never seem to get on our conferences. So we're really, really happy to have 3 students from the University of Ilmenau live on Sounds of the Bazaar today. Over to Helen.
Hi, I'm really pleased you've agreed to talk to us, because as Graham says, it's fantastic that we actually get to speak to learners, you know, as well as tutors. So, can you introduce yourselves and tell us about what you're doing here?
Well, I'm Eileen. I study media science in Ilmenau. It's my second semester now. And, yeah, we have a project running. We want to introduce data security to the people, to children, and to pupils, and to parents as well. And so we're here to gather information about our topic.
So can you tell us more about what you actually mean in this context by data security? What's your names?
We're just planning our project. We are not. We don't have to enough context for now. Yes, our target is to get to know the children and the students and pupils, to know about the data security and what can happen when they don't be secure with their information.
So do you think this project's very much about sort of web safety and web awareness?
We want to speak to children and to the parents to make them self-confident in the internet and that they learn how they handle with their data and how they
Okay, it's really interesting because lots of the discussion last night was all about information management and online identity and privacy. So, you know, the real key issues that you're tackling here. So what are your impressions of the conference itself?
I'm very impressed. I was here yesterday. I liked the discussion. It was in English, which I liked very much. And yeah, it's so cool that so many people are here from so many countries. And yeah, I'm just impressed.
No, it's such a great event. It's got the perfect balance. You know, we've got sort of constant audio streams and eating, drinking, chatting, and then some real hardcore debates as well. So what more could you ask for, Graham?
And our next guest on our programme, and we're grabbing guests here. I'm absolutely delighted to have Tobias Neltner here. I suppose I've got to declare an interest. As some of our listeners will know, I'm extremely interested in the development of personal learning environments. And I'm working with Tobias on a project called Mature, where we're actually trying to extend that concept to personal learning and maturing environments. Can you tell us something about the project, Tobias?
Yes, hello. The idea of the Mature project, especially of the development of a personal learning and maturing environment, is to guide the learners by developing ideas and bring it to communities to support the informal learning and the workplace and job-situated learning.
How do you think, because I mean a lot of the talk of technology and things like Moodle and VLEs, even at this conference, is about supporting formal learners. How do you think we can support informal learning?
Well, I think Web2O technology is a good approach to support informal learning. But we should find what the challenge is to close the gap between informal and formal learning. And so technology can help us to provide formal trainings in an informal environment.
One of the issues which sort of came out last night was there was a lot of talk about information overload. And I guess there's sort of two answers being put forward to this. And I think they're coming up in the Mature project as well, aren't they? One is, do we focus on technology, better technology as the answer to filtering and sorting information? Or other people suggested it's all about people, finding the right people. What's your feeling on those two approaches, connecting with people or intelligent filtering?
Well, I think regarding the context of person and of the knowledge workers, we can filter information. And the other point is perhaps it's a personal, it's a social structure that provides us with a possibility to filter information and to to close the gap of information overload.
Thanks very much, Tobias. And I'm going to have you back on Sounds of the Bazaar in the future. You know that, don't you? I think there's something going on. Oh, it's a question to Tobias. We've got a question to Tobias from the chat room. Helen, what's the question?
Hi, yeah, we've got Pat with another excellent question, one for you, Tobias. Do we want or even need to close the gap between informal and formal learning? So what's your perspective on that?
Oh, that's a one. Do we want to close that gap? Do we need to close that gap? Tobias?
Perhaps we don't... Yes, the question is right. Perhaps we don't need to close the gap, but I think we should find a bridge between both types of learning.
Okay, so not so much closing the gap as bridging the gap. Okay, and would you say that that's very much part of what the Mature Project's actually setting out to do?
From my point of view, it's a part of this because we don't have only look on informal learning. I think formal training is always part of our everyday work.
Okay, and how do you see the role of the institution in all of this?
Pardon me?
And what do you think of the role of the institution in all of this?
Well, the institutions, think can provide with the right technology a learner-oriented learning objects and learning entities.
How about the recognition of informal learning within a formal institutional context?
Well, I think the other way around is right. We can have a look on our informal learning in everyday work, and we can have inputs from formal trainings and from informal sources.
Excellent. Right. Thanks very much, Tobias. I think we're going to move back over to Graham, who's got someone else to talk to.
Yeah, one of the big issues at this conference, like I suppose every educational technology conference at the moment, is microblogging. I actually loved a Twitter comment yesterday at the panel discussion, which said, "Guy from IBM says Twitter is dead." But I don't think everyone here is convinced. And Mo, who's joined me now, was at the first session of the conference today, on Saturday, which was all about microblogging. What was the discussion about, Mo?
The discussion was about how to use microblogging on Twitter and why to do it. There were many people who were the first timer in microblogging, and we taught how to use it and why from our experiences when we have used it and how it has enriched our life.
Can you tell us a bit more about that? Because, I mean, there's quite a lot of people at the conference last night were extremely sceptical. I think someone sort of said, "Are you really telling me someone can learn anything by writing 140 characters? And I guess German words are longer than English, aren't they? So how do you see Twitter being used for learning?
I think maybe you can use it for making questions. You can take one question, how to use SPSS or something else, and you get a lot of links and tutorials with them, material which you can use for learning. Maybe I make a question how for a definition and ask for it, and I get something back from my network. So I learn a lot about this.
So it's very much the interactivity and immediacy of the microblogging, would you say that's formal or informal learning?
You can use it for both. Maybe if you have lecture and you use it to get feedback as a lecturer, or the students can make their question. This is a very formal setting. Or use it informal for other questions in your free time or during project learning settings. Then, yeah, you can use it for both.
One thought, sometimes it's said that lecturers don't always want that much feedback. It's pretty much outside their control, isn't it? What's said on it?
I think there's a... We told it from the old paradigm, this lecturer, and nowadays, yeah, we have to change with all these technologies. The feedback will be there if we like it or not.
Thanks very much. I mean, that's great stuff. Thanks, Mo. Okay, where's Helen now? I'm wandering around looking here. Have we got any more in the chat room? I think we're going to go into another musical break now. This is Graham Atwell, Sounds of the Bazaar, EduCamp 09, live internet radio, Sounds of the Bazaar live from Ilmenau, Germany at EduCamp 09. Spin those discs, Dirk. Sounds of the Bazaar live. Okay, we're at Edgecampo 9, I guess you know that by now. And we're going to try and give you a bit of flavour of what's going on. It's a bar camp event, remember? That's no papers submitted in advance, no peer group review, no waiting to hear if you're allowed to come, no waiting to hear if you're only a student, are your ideas legitimate. But Helen's going to talk us through a little about what's on at the conference this afternoon. Helen.
All right, thanks, Graham. Yeah, I'm just looking at the agenda for today's sessions. We've actually got, I think, six parallel sessions at any one time. So just to give you a flavour of what's going on, we've got sessions on educational microblogging, Twitter workshops. Yeah, lots of microblogging in there. We've got screencasting, podcasting, hands-on sessions. We've got Stefan doing a session on hard blogging scientists, who we spoke to earlier. Sessions on digital live, problem-based learning, the semantic web. So all sorts of things going on here. We've now going to be coming up to two key sessions, one with Steve Wheeler, who'll be talking about Edupunk, followed by Stephen Downs, who'll be talking about PLEs. And then obviously after that, we'll be going back to another PLE and mashup session with Tobias. So lots of webby, social, web 2 goodness.
And I think I suppose I should tell people, if any of you are listening to this programme, you're not in Ilmenau and you want to participate in the conference, they've done just such a brilliant tech job here. I've never seen anything like it. Every session is being webcast live out. Now, I haven't quite got the details in front of me for the addresses, but I guess if you search on Educamp 09, you're going to find the web addresses. So if some of those sessions you fancy attending, then do just tune in on the web. And I've had a quick look at some of the screencasts going out, and it's not your flickering, breaking thing that I guess we're used to too much. This is quality webcasting, and I guess it'll be way interesting. Where are we going now, Helen? She hasn't got a microphone on.
No, I've just... yeah, I've just picked up the leaflet for the next Educamp, actually.
Oh, let's do it. Let's give them a trailer.
Yeah, looking fantastic.
And if there's anyone who's organising the next Educamp around, do come and advertise it. I'm not sure there is. Losing a few people here. Yeah, go on.
Well, basically, 6th to the 7th of November. It's going to be in Graz in Austria this time, which is a great place. So, and it's a really, really fantastic theme for this as well. Learners of today, information junkies,
Learners of today, information junkies,
So, yeah, I think that, again, that really chimes with some of the themes we've been looking at here, specifically in relation to information communication overload and, you know, the new learners, as it were. So that should be a good one. So if you can join us for that, fantastic.
Well, it's drawing close to the next session. It's been wonderful broadcasting. Sounds of the Bazaar. Yeah, you remember at the last programme, I told you that... our funding had run out from the wonderful JISC Emerge programme. But before people got too sad, I said we'd be back. And we are back 3 weeks later. When's our next programme? I'm trying to think what's the date now. I think we're planning certainly a session in May at some point. And, of course, we announce it through Twitter. We announce it through the Facebook group. If any of you aren't members of our Facebook group, and you'd like to keep in touch with Sounds of the Bazaar live radio broadcast, plus, of course, our podcast, then do join. Then we're planning the first week of June. We're trundling ourselves somewhere into the mountains of Slovenia, where we're going to the European Summer School, organised by ProLearn and a lot of other Framework Programme 7 projects. And the organisers don't know it yet, but we're certainly planning for Sounds of the Bazaar live to be broadcast from Slovenia, and we're hoping to be involving the students at the summer school in actually putting together one or two radio broadcasts. So certainly May, June, we'll be running right up to the summer. Sounds of the Bazaar hasn't gone away. I guess, sadly, it's time to come to the end of this session. I'd like to thank, as ever, the organisers of Educamp for giving us this wonderful space, wonderful opportunity to broadcast today. I'd like to thank Christine Acosta, who's typing away in our chat room. Not often heard on the radio, although we got her on today, but works hard on all this. Dirk Stieglitz, who's sitting in front of our fabby new mixing desk and mixing together the sound, the music, broadcasting it out live over the speakers here and, of course, live over the stream on the internet. And Helen Keegan, who's had her first guest as presenter, guest slot on presenter, on Sounds of the Bazaar Live. And I hope it won't be the last, Helen.
Excellent. Yeah, really enjoyed it. I'm starving now, Graham. Should we grab a burger and a go on Wii Sports?
I think it's burger and on Wii Sports. Now, this is Graham Atwell signing out. Sounds of the Bazaar, Ilmenau, great show, great event. And to those of you listening live here, we hope we enjoy the rest of it. Sounds of the Bazaar. Sounds of the Bazaar is broadcast by Pontegaske and is released under a Creative Commons 3 license.